As has been stated before, I am so thankful to be an American. With all her issues, I believe that America is still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I believe that really for two reasons. Number one, because of the legacy that we have been afforded. I tell you, as Brother Larry Petrie said and Brother Mott said and as others said, I can't think of another nation that has had the legacy that America has had in her founding and in her founding principles. I think America is the greatest nation on earth because of her legacy and because of the opportunity still before us. Whether we realize it or not, there is such a tremendous opportunity that is still available to people who live in America. We may think that she's not what she once was. We may think that she's not what she should be. But I'm telling you, the opportunity before us is one unlike the people of the world have really ever known. And I am so thankful to live in America. Tonight, I want us to consider, I believe, one of the greatest responsibilities that a Christian has to his country, and that is to pray. There are other responsibilities that we see in Scripture, such as honoring the authority that God has given us, such as obeying the authority that God has given us. But tonight, we're going to settle in right here on the responsibility that we have to pray, because as the Bible states here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it ought to be a priority. You look back at verse number 1 of chapter 2, and you see Paul said this, I exhort therefore that first of all, there is a priority to prayer that ought to be in the Christian's life that is oft neglected. But let us never underestimate the power of prayer. There is an emphasis on prayer for our nation that is often missing in most Christians' lives and in most churches. There's an expression of prayer that states that we are desperately needing God and that we are lost without Him that is often missing in our Christian circles. And so tonight we're going to preach and then we're going to practice one of the greatest things that we can do as citizens of this land, and that is praying for America. Look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice with me first, if you would, the passion of prayer. The passion of prayer. We mentioned here the priority, the emphasis earlier, that it is to be first of all. And again, without going into all of the context, this is within the confines of a public worship session. This is what the church should be about. And Paul here begins to illuminate the passion that ought to be in our prayer. Notice the detailed requests that he mentioned. He mentions here supplications. Now, supplications, they speak of urgent, consistent prayer. And really, when you hear that word supplication in Scripture, it's the idea that you and I acknowledge that there is a desperate need in our lives that we cannot meet. And a desperate need which then drives us to the one who can meet it. And so we must give ourselves to supplication. That urgent, consistent prayer. In verse number 2, Brother Charles, if you could put that up there and leave it up there. We also see, or verse number 1, sorry. We also see alongside supplications, prayers. Prayers speak of a specific request. Do you know what God answers and God honors? God answers specific requests. You know what my kids don't do? They don't come up to me on my day off and they don't say, Father, thy wonderful fatherness, wouldest thou please bless us today? No, do you know what they do on my day off? Hey, Dad, before I'm even out of the bed, Dad, are we going to Cedar Point today? Can we go to Cedar Point today? I want to go to Cedar Point today. Why? Because they know specific requests get specific answers. And so here with the passion of prayer, there is that supplication where we are begging God, beseeching God, understanding that what we're asking for is outside of the scope of our needs to provide it. But there's also that idea that it is a very specific request that we are making to our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 7. He said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Verse number 8, it says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened unto you." And I stop and think about it. I think, what is the last specific thing that I ask God to do for my country? What is the last specific thing that I ask God to do for my president? What is the last specific thing that I ask God to do for my state, for my city, for the leaders that God has placed over me? You know, if we're not careful, we pray in blessed generalities instead of specific requests. And you know what? God even pulls back in. He uses what I just mentioned as far as me and my kids as an example. Look at what Jesus says here in verse number 11 of Matthew 7. He said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" Do you know how many times on my day off we've gone to Cedar Point this summer? All of them. I'm a tired puppy. But I tell you, it's awesome. But if we do that for our kids, and we're not all that great people, are we? How much more should our Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? And so the passion of prayer, we see supplications, we see prayers. We should ask specific things of our Heavenly Father. But also in verse number 1 of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we see the idea of intercession. This speaks of praying for someone, whether or not that person is praying for themselves or not. So basically intercession is when we pray for other people. We make requests of God for other people, whether or not they are they themselves praying. It doesn't matter. Intercessions is praying for other people. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But you see the detailed requests that the passion of prayer makes up. But I also want you to notice this. Alongside of the detailed requests, we also have a delightful recognition. Because alongside of supplications, prayers, intercessions, what else do we find, church? Giving of thanks. That's why we did what we just did. Because you know what? We come to God and we ask Him for a lot, don't we? You know, Brother David mentioned that this morning at our men's prayer breakfast. Sometimes we ask and ask and ask and ask, and that's great because He tells us to. But it's awesome because we have the privilege to be able to turn around and tell Him thank you over and over and over again. Don't neglect the giving of thanks. We come with thanksgiving, recognizing all that God has provided. We come with thanksgiving, recognizing all that God has done. We come with thanksgiving, recognizing all that God is, because He is worthy. And you know what? When we remind ourselves of what He's provided and what He's done and who He is, you know what it does? It gives us confidence in asking Him for what we need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 reminds us this: be careful, be anxious, be worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This world mumbles and grumbles and can rarely find anything good. To listen to the news media and social media, you would think that even the brightest clouds houses a raging storm capable of destroying society as we know it. But not for us. For the believer, we realize that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I want you to notice with me as we consider this praying for America, the passion of prayer. Notice secondly, if you would, the people of prayer. The end of verse number 1 states this, that we are supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for, what are those next two words? all men. All men. So you know who we pray for, church? We pray for all. So we hearken back to intercession, praying for other people. And I've told you this before, that a good definition of all to work with theologically is that all means all, and that's all that all means. That means pray for everybody, whether they're Christians, whether they're unbelievers, whether they're moral, whether they're immoral, whether they love us, whether they hate us, etc., etc., ad nauseum, ad infinium, or whatever it is. George, you'll help me with that later, because let's be honest, you're smarter. But you pray for everybody, amen? Pray for everybody. All means all. You recognize this, that no person exists on this planet in whom God does not have a personal interest. Let that sink in. That no person exists on this planet in which God does not have a personal interest. And in prayer, God would have us enlarge our narrow horizons, expand our vision, increase our concern to pray for all. There are no crowns in heaven for the Jerks for Jesus Club. Pray for all. For all. But I want you to notice this. Go to verse number 2. We are to pray for all, but let's get specific. Who ought to be at the top of the list? Paul says this, for kings and for all they that are in authority. So yes, we pray for all, but let's narrow the focus. And we pray for authority. Paul specifically mentions kings and those that are in authority as a focal point for our prayers. Now, this is amazing, because when Paul says kings, do you know who he's talking about? He's talking about a man named Nero. And let me read you a little bit of background about who this man Nero was. While Nero was still young, preteen, I believe, he committed his first murder, killing a teenage boy who stood in his way in the street. He watched the boy lie there and die with callous indifference. Nero married at 15, but soon killed his wife. He married again and again, killed his second wife. He wanted to marry a third time, but she was already married, so he killed her husband so he could marry her. His mother annoyed him, so he arranged her murder. He failed the first time, but not to be deterred, he tried and tried again and eventually got the job done. And this wicked man, Nero, would grow up to become the emperor of Rome and to pour out his hatred on one group in particular, Christians. Christians. He had Christians arrested. He fed them to lions. He had them executed. One of his favorite things to do was to take Christians and tie them to poles in his and cover them in tar and light them on fire as human torches for his garden parties. That's what Nero considered entertainment. And yet Paul, as he talked about people that we should supplicate for and pray for and intercede for, yes, for all men, but where do we start? We start for those who are in authority. You know what Paul was not speaking of a Christian leader. Paul was not speaking of a democratic government. Paul was speaking of brutality beyond our comprehension. Now let me ask you this, if Paul wrote that the church's responsibility was to pray for Nero, how can we deny our responsibility to pray for our president, to pray for our Congress, to pray for our courts, etc.? Now don't get me confused, we don't worship human government. We don't. We don't wait in hope for them. I do not put my hope on an election. In case you haven't heard, okay? Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes, he ain't coming on Air Force One. My hope is not in an election. My hope is not in a position. But ladies and gentlemen, we are commanded by God to pray for those that God has put in authority over us. May we never forget Romans 13 and verse 1 tells us this. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be, or the authority that is ordained of God. In other words, God put them there. We need to pray for them. God put them there. We need to pray for them. And so we see the passion of prayer, the people of prayer. But lastly tonight, can we look at the purpose of prayer? The Bible says, let's turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 2 again. It says that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that, or in order that, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we are passionate in our prayer. We have the people that we are praying for. But why are we praying? It's important to know, amen? Well, the Bible tells us. Number one, we are praying for the opportunity to serve God. We are praying for the opportunity to serve God. Verse number 2 says that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray that God would give grace, that we would have a quiet, that speaks to outer peace, and peaceable, that speaks to inner peace, that we would have a life of peace, that we could live a godly, sincere life before God. You know, when our founding fathers came over, that's what they wanted. They wanted an opportunity to live for God and worship God as they believed the Bible said. And biblically, that's what we ought to pray for, is the opportunity to live for God. You know, there are most countries in this world, it is far harder for them to live for God than it is for us to live for God. We've mentioned it earlier, some of the opposition that they have, whether it's government, whether it's financial, whether it's just the fact that there are no Bibles and are no churches. But to live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. In other words, we simply pray for our government that we would have the opportunity to live right. Notice what's not on this prayer list. Is to pay less taxes, to be rich, issues of health care, that God strikes certain political parties with His judgment. It's that Christians would have the opportunity to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what we pray for. We pray for the opportunity to serve our God. But I want you to notice what else he talks about here. Not only is it the opportunity to serve our God, but it's the opportunity to share our God. You look at verse number 3, it talks about, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse number 4, who will have all men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray that God would give grace so that we could live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. That God would give grace so that we can share the gospel. Because it is still God's will that all men be saved. No matter their political affiliation. It is God's will, first and foremost, that all men might be saved. Who cares what happens with health care if people around us die and go to hell? I mean, and I care. And it's not to say, folks, that we have no involvement in government. Because being a good citizen means taking advantage of the opportunities that we have. But we pray to keep the main thing the main thing. And that is that we might serve our God and that we might share His gospel. And so we pray that God would move the heart of our rulers to give us the opportunity to share our God with this lost and dying world. And by the way, we do it whether they tell us we can or not. But in a lot of places, they suffer severe consequences for obeying God rather than man. And Paul says, you pray that you might be able to share in freedom. You know, sometimes I think that we fail to pray for greater freedom to share our God because we're not being a good steward of the opportunities that we already have. You know, honestly, what we have before us is the most unique opportunity in human history. You tell me another land, another people, another nation, another people group who have had the opportunity like we have had, the people, to have a voice and frame our government so that in its founding structure it is a government by the people, for the people. You tell me of another nation, another people group that have had access to the principles of God, that have had their foundations spring from the principles of God, who have had the opportunity to share the good news of God with everyone they come into contact with. We have an opportunity like human history really hasn't seen. And sometimes I think we kind of, oh yeah, because we're not taking advantage of the opportunity God has already given to us. And I remind us tonight that this opportunity to serve our God and this opportunity to share our God, it's not going to last forever. Every one of us feel indestructible and feel our nation is as well, but I point you to the history books, and I will show you how nations come and nations go, how nations rise and nations fall, how nations stand and nations change, and the opportunity we have won't last forever. And so tonight, we're going to pray for America. We're going to pray for, we don't have a king, we'll translate it to our situation, for our president and for those who are in authority. And tonight, we don't come as members of a political party. We come as members of the household of faith because we come with a bigger purpose than tax breaks or benefits. We come with eternity in mind. And so I'm going to ask for the next couple of minutes and we turn our hearts together in prayer. And I'm going to ask a couple people, Brother David, would you grab a microphone to pray for some specific people in our nation? Larry Petrie, if I could have you pray for us first. I'm going to have you pray for our president. First of all, Brother Larry, if you would, what we ought to pray first and foremost for every human being is that if he's not a Christian, that he does come to Christ. And I know what he says, and I also see what he does. So I can't know another man's heart one way or another. But I do know we need to pray. Number one, that if he's not a Christian, that he does come to Christ. He does get saved. And number two, Larry, if you would pray that God would give him wisdom. That God would give him wisdom. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And if we really believe what the Bible says, we ought to pray for God to give wisdom and direct our president. So Brother Larry, if you would you lead us in a word of prayer as we all bow our hearts together?
Father God, you are far beyond our understanding. But we do come asking, as your word directs, we are asking for the person in the highest position in this nation. Father, as preacher said, we don't know if he's saved or not. If he is, fantastic. Draw him to you and help him to live better. More like your word says and teaches. If he's not, Lord, that's the most important thing, that you somehow have the right person say the right thing, that your Holy Spirit can work in his heart, and that Mr. Trump will come to you. Or there are a bunch of other people in Washington that have authority. We have there's three parts of the government, and each one needs you to talk to them. Draw them all to you, Father, we pray. And always, Lord, starting with the president on down, wisdom. Such a great nation, such a great responsibility.
Yeah.
Far beyond our comprehension. Not something that realistically I'd want to take on. But Lord, he's taking it on. And I pray that you will give him wisdom to do right. Because it's obviously always right to do right. And I pray for wisdom for all of our government officials too, Lord. But specifically right now, we're praying for our president. Again, we're asking that if he doesn't know you, that you grant him salvation somehow. Through the right person speaking or whatever, that your word and your spirit can be real to him. And if he's yours, again, draw him to you, help him, strengthen him. And in any case, Father, he needs wisdom, as do all, but especially men in his position, the men that are responsible for this nation that you've granted us, for this nation that was founded on your principles by people who believed in you and trusted you. Lord, help us not to fail, but to constantly be praying for our president and for the rest of our federal government. Lord, we thank you that you hear us.
Amen.
And we have to trust you. If there's something we could do to change things, we might try. But there isn't. All things are in your hands. And as Pastor just said, the heart of the king is in the hands of God.
Amen.
And you can turn it however you want to turn it.
Yeah.
And Lord, since you would have all men to be saved, I pray that you turn our president's heart to you for salvation. In Jesus' name and for your glory, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Bill Brown, if you would, I'm going to ask if you would lead us in prayer for our vice president, Mike Pence. Mike Pence, as many of you know, is an outspoken Christian. As far as I understand now, he has weekly Bible studies in the Oval Office with a number of high-ranking officials, and the Lord has given him a place of tremendous influence in our government here and abroad. And so we're praying that God would watch over him, that God would continue to use his testimony, and that God would continue to give him wisdom as he seeks to lead our country as well. Mr. Bill Brown, if you would you lead us in prayer for our Vice President, Mike Pence?
Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the United States of America. Thank you for the country that you have given to us. Father, it seems such a strange thing that you'd put a person like Vice President Pence with a individual like President Trump. But there's a reason for that, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just give him strength, give him grace as he works in this administration. Help him to be the strength and the witness and the testimony, Father, that he needs to be, the encouragement that he needs to be to our president. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for him. But Lord, so many times we look to all of these other individuals, but the Bible says that if my people will humble themselves and pray. So we need, Heavenly Father, to humble ourselves. And Father, then our land would be healed. So God, we thank you for the privileges that you give to us. Thank you for our Vice President, Mr. Pence. God, I pray that you just continue to strengthen him, strengthen his family, strengthen his testimony and his witness. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask tonight if, Pastor Mott, I'm going to ask if you would pray for our Congress for a couple of things in particular. Number one, that God would miraculously bring some unity on some issues that really need to get taken care of. I think there are some issues that face our country that that we could go ahead and figure some stuff out on if we just put ourselves aside and came together. And so number one, that God would bring some unity in some areas where we really need to come together and get some things done. Number two, that God would guide our Congress, and as they legislate, because that's what our Congress does, they pass laws, that God would keep them from passing laws that would infringe upon our right to serve our God or to share His gospel. Because really, church, we're one law away. We're one law away from things getting much, much more difficult to worship and serve God as He teaches us to. So that God would bring unity, Brother Mahdi, if you would, and then also that God would protect them from passing any law that would infringe upon our ability to be a salt and light.
Yeah, our loving Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the joy of living in America tonight and pause now to lift up our voices in prayer for those in leadership, Lord, we want to thank you for the form of government, Lord, that our founding fathers have structured, and we believe it to be the very best government in this world. But, Lord, it has its problems. We particularly pray for Congress right now. And, Lord, there's such a division that none of us have ever seen before. And we pray, Heavenly Father, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they may look to you for guidance. And I pray your Holy Spirit might guide them. I pray, Heavenly Father, earnestly, Lord, that we could see a unity come for our Congress in such a way that their first concern is America. Amen. And the people of America and their political party and their personal moral or immoral, I should say, agenda. And Father, we just pray that Christians all across, not just Harvest, but all across our nation, may lift up our Congress and pray for them, Lord. And Lord, I know that you've promised that you'd hear and that you'd answer prayer. And Lord, we just pray as well, Lord, as we as Christians have been threatened, Lord, by some of the representatives that are in Congress, Lord, with laws that would greatly hinder some of the things in a Christian life. And we know already, Lord, Father, that things have bent worse and worse towards us. But we know that you're a great God. We know that we can trust you no matter what Congress does. And Lord, follow you in your leadership and everything will be all right. And Lord, we earnestly pray for every single representative in our Congress.
Yes.
That you would speak to their mind, to their heart, and to their soul, that they might follow after you, and that we could see our country become even more of a Christian country. And how we'll thank you and praise you for what you have done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last but not least tonight, I'm going to ask, if he would, I'm going to ask Pastor Jim Belcher. We're going to pray tonight for our Supreme Court judges. Our Supreme Court's going to have some decisions to make in the upcoming months and upcoming years. One of the things that they will more than likely go over is whether or not it's still acceptable in our country to murder unborn babies. And so we need to pray that God would move their hearts and that God would move their hearts to overturn the law that was and to establish a law that recognizes that life is the foundational freedom upon which our country's built on. What's liberty if there's no life? What's pursuit of happiness if there's no life? What is it if there's no life? And so what we need them to understand, even according to our founding documents, that principle liberty is life, among other things, but that God would be with them and give them great wisdom as they deliberate and decide those things. Pastor Belcher, would you pray for our courts?
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer tonight, how we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can take this time to call upon your name and to pray for our nation. And Lord, we pray right now for those chief justices, Lord of our Supreme Court. Heavenly Father, those decisions that those men and women have made have probably had the greatest impact upon our lives, Lord, of any other decision, of any other law. Lord Jesus, even in my own experience, Lord, in my own lifetime, I've seen that because of their decisions, that prayer, Bible reading was taken out of the public schools. Lord Jesus, that abortion on demand was accepted. And Lord, we can go on and on with decisions that have been made that, Lord, we see that run counter to the Word of God.
Right.
And Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray for those justices. Dear Lord, we ask you to tonight to open their hearts to your truth. Lord, we know historically that there was a time when our Supreme Court went right to the Bible and looked for answers to decisions on what did the Bible say about it. Lord, we're afraid that that day is long gone. And Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask, Father, that as the opportunity to have justices replaced, that, Lord, that you would give us those justices, Father, that will rule according to our own Constitution in light of the truths of the Word of God. And, Lord, we pray for them. Lord, we know that they're just human. And, Lord Jesus, we know that they make mistakes. But how, Father, we pray and ask that you would preserve them, keep them, Lord, direct them and guide them. And, Heavenly Father, help them, Lord Jesus, to live up to the ideals of their oath of office that they were sworn into, that, Lord, that they will rule by the Constitution, and, Lord, not be influenced and persuaded by political parties and by just the heat of the moment of public opinion. Father, direct them, we pray. And, Lord, we do thank you that we live in a land again, and Heavenly Father, in which we do have a court system, in which we can face our accusers, and Lord Jesus, that we can have evidence, and evidence is looked at. Lord, how we praise you for that. Lord, thank you again for America. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Could we stand together tonight, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. It's been good to be in the house of God, hadn't it? I'm looking forward to going out and having some hot dogs and playing some games and just enjoying one another's fellowship. But I encourage you tonight that you take the message with you, and let's pray for our country. It truly is, I believe, the greatest on the face of the earth.